Good morning.
Welcome back.
This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check out all of our podcasts. Our local podcasters podcasting. Man, that's a lot of podcasts. Good morning. How we doing? Actually, it's 12:13, so good afternoon. I don't know when or if you'll listen to this, but it's afternoon. So, how are we? I am just hanging in there. I'm drinking some coffee that's way too hot. I'm sitting in a building when the weather's way too nice. But it's what I've got to do today. You know, I talked about the other day or whenever about procrastination. It is a insidious disease that honestly can be just as bad as any other insidious disease. And I don't realize how bad I do it until I do all the tasks that I've been procrastinating on. And today is one of those days. I feel terrific. And that is because I checked a bunch of stupid things off of my list of procrastinating bullshit. The salon. I have a hair salon, and it is full of just knickknacks and corners and nooks and places to get hair and capes and towels and trash cans. It's just so much junk. And, you know, you manage it. But, you know, I know, like, I have this little heater. I know behind that heater there's a shitload of fucking hair back there. But I procrastinate. I know the windows. Our windows have been so dirty with the rain and the snow and the dirt. We had a bunch of hay bales out here from another restaurant. The wind got that, stuck pieces of hay to the window. Looked like shit. I've been meaning to do it. I have an app. I built an app a few years ago. It's a great app. It's a fun little app. But I did something trying to salvage another domain name, and it got screwed up, and now my app is not working. And it hasn't been working for a while. And I know it, and I've been thinking about it, and it's been wearing me out. The goddamn thing cost a lot of money. I won't even tell you how much it cost me to build that. Money I did not have, of course. I called, I wrote some emails today. I got in contact with some people. Wheels are turning. Cleaned out all the flower beds out in front of the salon, these pots that we fill with flowers all summer that look beautiful. But at the end of the summer, you know, they fade and die off. But there's always one flower, two flowers in there that just keeps hanging on. And I just feel it's like that moment in the Toy Story movie where, you know, you picture all your little toys or all the little plants in the dumpster crying. So I waited a little longer. And someone told me the other day, he goes, "Hey, I don't know. I think these plants have had it." I was like, "Yeah, you're right." And so I got those all cleaned up, put them in the spots where I usually keep them through the winter. The windows, oh my God, I love, I'm a big glass cleaning guy. I love clean glass. I love my windshield to be clean, my car windows to be nice and clean. I love the salon windows to be clean. And I've been noticing they need to be cleaned, and I just keep putting it off, procrastinating. And today I finally got my stuff out, got all the windows cleaned the pots out, swept the sidewalk. It's funny. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but I'm sitting there cleaning my windows, and due to the procrastination, like, cobwebs have built up in the corners, leaves have stuck to the wall. I mean, it's a whole, you know, thing. And I'm getting upset. I'm, like, getting mad. I'm like, who's in charge of cleaning this freaking building? You know, like, I want to attack, like, the landowner or the landlord. Son of a bitch, doesn't take care of anything. It's my job. I've been procrastinating so long. It's gotten so bad. I'm looking to even try to blame other people. But there's nobody to blame but me. And I recognize that. I got those windows clean. It's funny, once I got the windows clean and I got the chores done that I was supposed to have done probably a month ago, my desire to bash the landlord had ended. And that was good. It is a constant shit show in my head, I swear to God. But I took the time. Sent out some emails. I got wheels turning on that. I got the windows cleaned, flower pots cleaned out, place swept, wiped down. And not only did I do my windows, I did the studio windows here. Actually, I suggest today that you go and wash anybody that has windows for free. I think it should be an official day. Wash your neighbor's windows for free. I'm in like a strip mall. It's me. It's Lanikai, the Salon, Mono Mortgage, Home Theater Solutions, and then the Nook. And I used to, and I will. I was a little short on time, but I'll wash everybody's windows. I just wash them. Number one, I like to wash windows. I mean, if I have the right tools, bucket of water, squeegees, you know, the sponge thing, I like it. I have a good time. But it's also against what I should or would think I'd want to do, right? You don't just plan on going to wash everybody's windows, but I do it. People are like, what are you doing? Washing the windows. And of course, you shouldn't say anything. I'm, you know, ignore that I'm telling you. But it is fun to help other people when they least expect it. I know I enjoy it. And, you know, I got more windows to wash today, but I did the ones that I needed to. And I just, you know, I have to remind myself that when I'm all screwy and pissed off, there's probably a reason that's not that far away. Time goes by, still I'm stuck on you. Yeah, time goes by, still I'm stuck on you. I've been afraid, don't wanna fade out of my body. I've been astray, barely awake, floating above me. Covered in gray, what can I say? I've been a zombie, I'm feeling like I've been locked in a grave. You were the laugh, you were the light, you were the party. You were the brave, I was the weak, you were the army. You were the faith, you were the truth, I was the sorry. I'm feeling like you've been taken away. You were my one, you were my one. When all has been said, all has been done. You were my one, you were my one. Now I am left, reaching above me. Oh. Great song. I don't know about anybody else. I don't know who uses Spotify. Hopefully you follow our podcast on Spotify or iTunes, but Spotify does some cool shit. I used to consider like, you know, music playing platforms like an iTunes or Pandora or whatever that is out there, and there's a few. Just as that, you know, I need the music. Let me search it. Here it is. I can make a playlist, you know, by adding things together, and then I can play it. And I did that. I was an iTunes guy for a long time. You know, don't question me about iTunes. iTunes knows what they're doing. And my son David's like, Daddy, you need to get Spotify. And I was like, I'm not into it. iTunes is great. So, you know, that was that. Well, he kept telling me, dude, you need to really check out Spotify. So finally I did. And I was like, you know, it's fine. But if my kids want it, I'll get it. And so I think I was paying for the iTunes service and canceled it and went to this family premium Spotify. I think it's like 15, 16 bucks a month. But, you know, the whole family's on it. Up until like, you know, a while, it's been just fine. It's just the same kind of thing, a music platform. I can search out songs. You know, for the most part, it's kind of the same thing. But what Spotify does is they create playlists based on the bands that I follow. And I'm like, well, duh, what, you know, what's the big deal? So I start following bands, they start creating these playlists. I'm like, oh my God, these are great playlists. I mean, I'm digging them. And then the other thing that I like is that they make versions of playlists. So like, you know, there's Daily Mix 1, Daily Mix 2, Daily Mix 3, yada, yada, yada. But, like, they're all great mixes, but each one is unique in its own way. Because what I would end up doing is I just take a bunch of songs that I know and like, and I put them all together and I make a playlist. Spotify takes music that I follow and makes the playlist of music that I probably am not as is not as popular to me, but I still enjoy the bands. I'm sure iTunes does it as well. I just maybe didn't pay attention. And so I'm kind of digging Spotify. And then they put out for 2020 my top 100 list of music, which was very interesting. And it was a lot of Pearl Jam and Gigaton album, because, you know, we do the Pearl Jam podcast, and I guess we played a lot of it. But Imagine Dragons also came up in my playlist as my top 100, and I was like, oh, I forgot. I love Imagine Dragons. And this song I was working this morning doing hair, and this I played the playlist, and this song came up. I was like, oh my god, time goes by and still I'm stuck on you. I love that guy's voice. Wish I could sing, but I'm like, I'm gonna do a podcast because I like that song. And so there it is. That's the song, and I think it's called Stuck on You, but that's Imagine Dragons. Awesome song. And I also just wanted to touch base a little more on this procrastination. Sometimes I'll do a podcast, and it's like a purge or something. I share, and then I'm done, and I look back, and I go, what did I even say? What did I talk about? And I have to remind myself that this is for me just to share my experience of things that potentially could lead me back to drinking. You know, I don't want to tell you what to do. I don't want to tell you what not to do. I don't want to say that if you don't do this, it won't work. Because it's not what I want to do. And it's not really fair. It is each and every person's journey to figure out what it is that you want. And honestly, every step along the way creates a new journey, right? You know, I remember getting sober and I was like, I just want to stop drinking and driving. I just want to stop drinking and driving my car like a drunken fool down the highway at night and maybe get better girls. That's all I wanted. But all of a sudden, things start happening. And, you know, I mean, I put down the drink. The first goal I wanted, stop driving down the highway after I'd been drinking, came true. It came true. The better girls, I don't know. That's how screwy I am. That was part, you know, that would be an interest of mine. But the first thing that my temporary sponsor said is stay out of relationships for the first year. He's like, probably for the first few years, but definitely for the first year. I was like, oh shit. But then I'm like, God, you know, all of a sudden I'm like reliable and I'm not miserable and I'm not drunk and I'm not showing up. Maybe I can get a better job. Maybe I can move up in my job. And then all of a sudden I start meeting better people. And I'm like, maybe I can have friends that aren't hoodlums. Because when I was drinking, I only hung out with people that could drink like me. And the way that I drink, it kept my numbers very small. So I'm like, well, maybe I can expand my friend base. And, you know, you go to enough meetings and you stick around long enough, you're going to make friends. So all of a sudden, these new goals start popping up. You know? Some of the things, sarcasm, procrastination, you know, these things were kind of like hidden. I'd done them so long that I didn't even know they had a name. I thought it was just the way it was. Being a victim, not accountable. I thought this was all just normal behavior. Look at me, poor me. Somebody help me. I thought this was all just normal shit. And then it started to become, you know, I started learning a little bit more. Sometimes easy, sometimes hard. You know? Sarcasm. I think the name sarcasm defined the Greek definition is the tearing of flesh. I was like, ooh, shit. And you think about it and you're like, wow, I get it. It is a tearing of flesh. It's ripping at people's feelings. And I'll never forget busting my friend Scott's balls. And he said, you know what, man, that hurts my feelings. And I was like, ooh, I learned a hard lesson that way. I won't be sarcastic with Scott for sure. And I definitely try to be, I tried to be less sarcastic and work on that. But it wasn't because, oh, I just want to be a better person. I don't want to be sarcastic. I didn't want to be called out like that again. I don't want to be embarrassed, and I don't want to feel that shame. But I was thinking the other day, you know, sarcasm. Oh, I as a young person, prior to getting sober, prior to, you know, really, it was always something that I fell back on, sarcasm, making jokes of others, making people look bad to make myself feel better, you know, all this weird sickness. And, you know, I've been working on it. I don't think I'm sarcastic to a point that I try to hurt people's feelings. Maybe, you know, just being trying to be funny, maybe, but hopefully not to the expense of others. I was watching something and they were talking about it, and I was trying to think, am I sarcastic still? And I don't know what the difference, I guess the difference between sarcasm and being funny is, you know, am I hurting somebody's feelings? Is my comedic act at the expense of others that are close to me? And the funny thing is, I don't really hang out with a group of people that are available for that. You know, if I was sarcastic and hurt someone's feelings that's in my inner circle, they'd be like, what's up with that, man? You know, my buddy Carlos, him and I were sarcastic. But that's the platform that him and I are on, you know. That's what I spent the last 25 years trying to not be sarcastic and mean to others, and then here you come. And now I got to roll up my sleeves and get back into it with him. But we both know that it's only for fun. But sometimes it gets so bad, I look at him, I go, what's the matter with you? What? Who hurt you? Who ripped you so bad that makes you have to tear people apart? It's very interesting. But the procrastination thing is real, and it's happening in my life today. And today was one of those days that I was able to kind of take off a few of the things off the list. There's more stuff I need. You know, we have a podcast network. We have a meeting today at 2. You know, I want to get people involved, you know, get people doing different things to show that we're working towards creating a great network for people to podcast. And but I'm not great at that. That's usually a lot of the times where procrastination shows itself, is when I'm not very good at something. You know, I hang out with smart people. I work around smart people. But when it comes to like I can walk the walk, but when it comes to talking the talk, I fall short. And sometimes, like creating meetings, creating an agenda for the meeting, you know, talking points, I get, you know, I struggle. So I avoid it. Ooh, I'll be back. And I procrastinate on it. And it's just not my comfort zone. But I'm working on it. And, you know, today was one of those days. I sent out an email. We got the meeting set up for 2 o'clock. I talked to someone next door who's going to help us with, you know, banking stuff. You know, there's just things. And if I don't take care of them, like up until like last night, I was carrying around a lot of unfinished stuff. And it bugs me. And I get grumpy. And then when I feel bad, then I want to do it. And when I finally want to do it, it doesn't fit into everybody else's schedule. So that creates another fight. So I think some of the one of the first things that I have to do to try to, I'm not going to say avoid procrastination. Once I'm into it, some things I need to do to try to start digging my way out of it is, first of all, I need to have a plan. And I need to have a conversation with my wife, because usually when something comes up that hasn't had a conversation, that's usually when the friction starts. So, like, you know, I need to talk and say, listen, this is some of the things that I need to do. I've been procrastinating on some things I want to get taken care of. And I need to start digging myself out. So a conversation, communication between, you know, whoever it is. For me, it's usually my wife and I. I need to let her know, this is what I've been doing. I've been procrastinating. These are some of the things that are falling short. I need to work on them today. Well, she may not like it, but, you know, I told her that we're having a meeting at 2, a podcast meeting. I told her last week, I'm having a meeting at 2 next Saturday. Oh, I go, I know, I need to have it, though. I've been procrastinating on having it. I've been putting it off. It needs to happen. Okay. My wife's cool. Everything's good. We're having the meeting. No trouble. That's important. I am a work in progress. Let's do some reading. Huh? Am I making sense to anybody? Is anybody out there? Damn. Let me take a look. Oh, shoot. What am I doing? All right, here we go. Got it. Daily reflections. Ooh. President's in town. It's pretty exciting. All right, here we go. This looks juicy. January the 2nd. First, the foundation. Is sobriety all that we can expect of a spiritual awakening? No. Sobriety is only a bare beginning. Sobriety. You know, I've looked up the definition of that word, and I think it says to be without drink. So, honestly, is sobriety all we can expect out of a spiritual awakening? Pfft. No. Sobriety is only a bare beginning. As Bill sees it, page 8. Practicing the AA program is like building a house. First, I had to pour a big, thick concrete slab on which to erect the house. That, to me, was the equivalent of stopping drinking. But it's pretty uncomfortable living on a concrete slab, unprotected and exposed to the heat, cold, wind, and rain. So I built a room on the slab by starting to practice the program. The first room was rickety because I wasn't used to the work. But as time passed, as I practiced the program, I learned to build better rooms. The more practiced and the more I built, the more comfortable and happy was the home I now have to live in. That's what I just said. That's what I just said. Different version, same shit. You know, it's a foundation. And all these things, procrastination, sarcasm, gluttony, just all this shit that doesn't exactly look like me putting a glass of alcohol to my lips are the things that start to crumble my foundation and bust up my rickety room. It is a fucking beautiful thing, getting sober. I'm sorry you drank too much, but fucking high five you, because you get the opportunity to not only put down the drink or drug, but to live a life that's full. And if it ain't full, you'll learn how to either fill it or be cool with it. And that's what's most important. The foundation. The foundation. I hope. What time is it? I love that. I love that. Identifying my problem. You know, I was talking to my wife about, you know, the four step and just, you know, it's fine if you don't like something. But just understanding why you don't like something. Do you think that's important? You know, the example in the big book is always, you know, Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones. Hate Mr. Jones. That was me. I hate that guy. Why? I don't know. I fucking hate him. What's the matter? I don't know, but I just hate him. But when someone said, listen, let's identify what you hate. You know, his wife's prettier. Car's better. House is bigger. Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, that's what I hate. I think it's important to understand you can hate him. You just need to understand why you hate him. And until you understand why you hate him, you never get any better. Goosebumps still, I'm stuck on you.
You go.